Insight on Business, the NewsHour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company. Learn how to grow your small business or nonprofit by outsourcing your HR and payroll functions. OasisAHR.com.
It is the Business NewsHour. Thanks for clicking through. With me is the State Director for NAMI of Iowa. Now, what does that mean? Well, we're going to dig into this because it has to do with mental health. And everywhere we go, with almost every situation, individuals are pointing to issues of mental health, whether they be productivity in the workplace, whether they be childcare, whether they be issues of actually mass shootings. Everyone says, well, mental health is got to be fixed. And we're here to talk a little bit about that with Peggy Hubbard. Peggy, welcome to the Business News Hour. Welcome back. It's been a while.
Thank you for having me.
Am I accurate with that opening? I mean, everybody seems to be pointing to the issue of mental health here in Iowa and across the United States.
Well, certainly it's been a hot topic now recently, unfortunately, in connection with mass shootings.
Right.
And our president, you know, connected the two and blamed mental health for the latest round of shootings. And that's a problem because it adds to stigma. And to say that these shootings are the fault of people who are mentally ill is both inaccurate and wrong. Mm-hmm. So, first of all, as far as I know, neither of the latest shooters had any diagnosis. But even if they did, to blame people with mental illness for mass shootings is very destructive because the people who need help are not going to come forward. Mm. It just adds to the stigma. There's been talk of preemptive incarceration,
right?
Which is a very scary idea. We're going to just start throwing people in jail because we think they might commit a crime. Is a gross violation of civil rights.
Awfully 1984, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Our question back is, if you really believe that mental illness is the cause for mass shootings, then what have you done to try to improve programs and services for people?
And I think that's where we get to the crux of things. Mm-hmm. If we are going to be taking not just massive shootings, but even individual shootings and domestic violence, mm-hmm. and we get into all kinds of things, workplace. I've heard the issue about mental health in workplace, about stress on parents that can't find childcare services, and that reduces their ability to deal with things. I mean, there's a lot of stressors on people out there. So when we think about mental health, we're not always necessarily talking about shutting someone up in a mental health institution.
No.
These are things that go on every day with people.
Right. Well, 1 in 5 people will experience a mental health diagnosis in any given year.
Really?
That's 600,000 Iowans. And close to 200,000 Iowans live with chronic and severe mental illness. So it's not rare. It's actually quite common. And when you include all the people who are affected by it, family and friends, it's just about everybody.
Yeah.
So depression is the number one cause of absenteeism in the workplace. It costs employers billions of dollars in lost productivity. That part is correct. And unfortunately, a lot of employers are not very effectively dealing with it.
Well, they're not. First of all, employers, HR professionals, all of these folks are averse to any kind of a risk. And they're not mental health professionals. Mm-hmm. They don't deal with in that world necessarily. But if that many Iowans are suffering from some form of being distraught or mental illness, somebody needs to get on board maybe, yeah?
Right. Well, there are ways to deal with it, and we have suggestions
yes,
for that.
Yes, please.
Well, first of all, taking a pledge to become a stigma-free company. And that starts at the top with the leaders of the organization.
Now, saying, how do you get there?
Well, we actually have materials about that.
I'm
if anyone's interested.
And,
that we are free for employers. We talk about how it can be instituted through their HR departments. Just simple things like we're through almost every company has employee resource options and stuff, but they're very rarely used. And part of the reason for that is because there's stigma attached to using those, right? So continual communication that mental health is important is just another illness, just like any other kind of chronic illness. It needs ongoing attention. So it's not cured, it's treated, like diabetes, like asthma are other examples. And as your employer, we are here to support you in your journey. And so it's tone, it's tenor, it's communication, it's not making fun of a mental health day, but actually
appreciating that,
encouraging it and saying it's okay. But also for family members, I mean, if you're dealing with it with a spouse or a child or a parent, that it's just as legitimate to need time off to take care of that in a family as it is for any other illness. So that's important, and it can make a big difference in how the employee is able to cope and whether they can continue to be a productive employee or not. And unfortunately, the ultimate consequence of not dealing with it is often incarceration, the emergency room, or sometimes even death. Suicide rates are climbing every year, going higher. 2016 was the highest rate ever for farmer suicides, and it's now gone higher every year. We anticipate that, unfortunately, this year is going to be another mark, another record. But one of the fastest growing demographics for suicide is 11 to 14-year-old girls.
I was just going to ask you that. We've seen information in rushes past our newswire about the increase of young females dealing with suicide.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Well, traditionally, the biggest demographic for at risk for successfully taking their own lives are young men between the ages of 18 and 25.
Mm-hmm.
And that is still the case, but other groups of people are it's growing much faster. And that's one of them. Another one is men over the age of 55.
Really?
Yes.
The professionals that are out there, we're visiting with Peggy Huppert, ladies and gentlemen, the NAMI Iowa Executive Director. When we look at this, Peggy, if all of this is going on, what are the professionals saying are encouraging the growth in mental health illness and ultimately some of these suicide rates?
Well, part of it is just more awareness and more willingness to talk about it and seek treatment. So that part is good. But there's pretty much consensus that there actually are growing rates of especially depression and anxiety. The rates of bipolar disorder and schizophrenia, the most serious schizoaffective disorder, the most serious chronic mental illness that affect about 2 to 3% of Americans, it remain pretty steady, and they're pretty steady across the world. But anxiety and depression are growing exponentially, and especially among young people. And there are a lot of theories about why that is. There have been some studies now that have come out that show it's a combination of what's going on in the world, of the volatility and the divisions that exist within our society. A lot of young people are very worried about climate change. They really think that they're not going to grow up to see the world. I mean, the world is going to, as they know it,
sure,
is going to end.
And then you have at the same time, while this angst is there among younger individuals across the country, you have absolute denial on the other side of the spectrum that really exacerbates that angst, I would
think. It does. It does. School shootings are another major source of anxiety and depression for young people. You know, we have kindergartners going through active shooter drills.
Yeah.
So they go to school worried about if they're going to come home alive.
Let that sink in for just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
You have kindergartners, first and second graders, who are actively wondering whether or not they're going to be able to make it home that day. That's sobering.
Well, Sandy Hook was really a denominator for that. And, you know, I think that that was something that was unthinkable to many of us before it happened,
mm-hmm.
right? But since then, what have we seen? Mass shootings practically everywhere. So there really doesn't seem to be a place that is off limits or that we can think...
That's safe.
That's really safe.
Right. I mean, houses of worship.
Yeah.
Concerts.
Right.
Sporting events. I mean, this goes on and on and on. So that angst and the worry and the fear becomes really palatable.
Right. So it's really no big surprise that our rates of anxiety and depression are increasing.
All right. So if there's stigma to assigning a condition of mental illness or lack of mental health, then there must be ways in which not only awareness of the factor, but there must be ways in which we can start to combat that from a clinical aspect and from a sociological aspect. How is Iowa set to be able to battle back against significant mental illness in the Hawkeye State?
Well, we're not particularly well set. We are doing better. There has been improvement, but we're still lagging behind. We're unfortunately often in the bottom five in a lot of rankings when it comes
bottom five
of in the nation, like the bottom 45 and below in terms of state rankings and different things like number of psychiatrists, number of beds, resources available. We are improving.
There's only 50
right.
states plus the District of
right.
Columbia.
Right.
So if we're at 45 or below, we ain't improving much.
No. Well, it'll take a while.
Yeah.
It took a while to get there, so it's going to take a while to go up.
All right. So I don't want to base on the negative. Because if we can look towards positive change,
mm-hmm.
what is it that NAMI of Iowa would like to see happen in the state of Iowa so that we can assuage some of the issues that we've just been talking about?
Well, we are trying to be part of the solution. So thank you for saying that, because we are pretty sure we're never going to have enough psychiatrists. We have fewer than 200 in our state to take care of nearly 200,000 chronically mentally ill people. So that's not going to work, and it's a long pipeline to get new psychiatrists. It's difficult. So we need to do a better job of equipping our family doctors and our nurse practitioners and our physician assistants to be effective providers of mental health care. So they're not trying to refer people to a psychiatrist that is not available. We also need to do a better job of training and equipping our teachers, our educators, our coaches, anyone who comes in contact with kids through the K-12 system, as well as college campuses, because a lot of serious mental illness does emerge during college years, and colleges need to do a better job of dealing with that. We need to do a better job of equipping and educating our law enforcement, because they come in contact with a lot of people. And unfortunately, county jails have become the last resort providers of mental health care. So, and then there's NAMI. We provide classes and support groups taught by peers, people who have experienced it, who are trained. And all NAMI education is free of charge.
Hmm.
So it's another piece in the puzzle. It's very much community-based. We have 13 local affiliates across the state that are offering classes and support groups. And another solution is peer support. That's people who are trained, people who have lived with serious mental illness, who are then trained to help others. They go through a week-long training, And there's peer support specialists and family peer support specialists who help families with kids who have this. And the data shows that this is very effective and it's not expensive, but we need to develop it and pay for it.
Our guest is Peggy Huppert. She's the state director for NAMI of Iowa. All right, so we've just clicked off a whole bunch of things here. Employers need more education. Teachers K through 12 need to be knowledgeable about what to look out for. And then, of course, the question is, what do you do after you're knowledgeable about that? College professors, sports coaches, law enforcement. Okay, I'm in. How do we pay for this? Or where does this come from? And all of those things. If I'm out on a Saturday attempting to get donations for school supplies for the local elementary school kids that don't have school supplies, how do we get to dealing with mental health issues in our schools?
Well, that's a good question. The legislature just passed a children's mental health bill, which was signed into law by the governor in May 1, and it's now the law of the state. We're one of the last states in the nation to get this, but we've got it now. So we have a lot of work ahead of us to get this implemented through schools, but also through community-based services and agencies, and they need to work together, right? So NAMI has a program called Ending the Silence, which we can present in schools. It's a 50-minute program that's taught by a parent and a young person who's been through it. And it's a very introductory presentation, but it teaches people about the signs and symptoms of mental illness and then what to do if you or someone you know is experiencing it. And there's a version for middle and high school kids. There's a version for teachers, and there's a version for parents. So we're trying to spread that throughout the state. We have a program called Provider, which is we're doing a collaboration with Des Moines University to teach medical students how to be better providers of mental health care when they become doctors. And we're trying to get that instituted throughout the state of Iowa. So to answer one of your questions is, you can make a contribution to NAMI of Iowa.
There you go. It's one way.
And we have our walk coming up, so that's a great opportunity for anyone who would like to contribute or get involved. It's Saturday, September 28th at Terre Lake Park in Johnston, and you can go to our website and learn more about it, namiiowa.org. But also, you need to be talking to your elected officials that this is an important thing for you.
Well, let me back up just a little bit, because I want to go back to the Children's Mental Health Bill that was signed into law. Now, we sign lots of things into law, okay? And then it becomes the law. But what does that do for mental health preparedness as well as mental health treatment and awareness in the state of Iowa? What does that bill, now law, do?
Well, we have had services for children for some time. It's not that we don't. We do. There are some great providers out there doing great services. But there's no system, meaning that we say this list of services should be available to any child, regardless of where they live in the state, at any time. And we have that for adults, but we did not have it for kids until July 1. And then we have the regions, the mental health and disability regions, are responsible for making sure that those services are going to be put in place. And DHS has authority to make sure that the regions are doing that job, right? So they're like looking
somebody
over them, right?
Right, yeah.
Right. And there are deadlines for certain things being done. So we have some actual programs and services required for the entire state by certain times, and then we have laid out who's accountable for those.
Here's the $64,000 question, although I'm now speaking in monetary terms. Was there any funding for this?
There was some. There was some limited funding for some initial steps. And then there is funding through the mental health property tax levy, which some regions have a surplus that they're using some of those funds. And then there, of course, is Medicaid funding. And Medicaid does pay for some of these services. But the problem is, and then, of course, there's private insurance, I should say, you know. But the problem is that even the three-legged stool of payment sources is very wobbly because there are a lot of gaps. Okay, Medicaid doesn't pay for everything and it doesn't pay enough. Okay, private insurance doesn't pay for everything and there are often high co-pays and high deductibles. I just heard from a provider yesterday at a meeting that they had a family come in with a child with pretty severe symptoms. They had an evaluation and they were told it's going to cost you $5,000 out of pocket to start the treatment for this child. And they had to walk away because they don't have $5,000. So, and they're insured.
Okay? And they're insured.
So we talk about how 97% of Iowa children are insured, like somehow that means they're all taken care of. But they aren't. Because often there's situations like this. And then there are programs and services that aren't paid for by anyone. They're not paid for by Medicaid or private insurance, like crisis services, mobile crisis response, crisis stabilization, the access centers that we're establishing. Medicaid might pay for one service within that. Same with private insurance. You can bill for it. That doesn't mean you're going to get the money back, right? So the regions are the ones left responsible. And ultimately, that's on the property tax. And that's not very popular with a lot of people. So that's a problem.
And especially, now I'm reading, because we get, again, all of these press releases, I'm reading where there are a number of individuals who are running for school boards as well as city councils who want to tackle property tax and reduce the property taxes on homeowners. I get it. But at the end of the day, we've got some other issues going on.
Well, the mental health property tax levy was established because of the old county of origin system where the counties were responsible
right,
for paying for this.
That.
And also tied to the county homes,
right,
which was an old system. So that's how that was established. This is unusual. Most states don't have this. Most states, it's a state funded. But I think actually it's a good thing that counties are involved somewhat. But the state needs to step up now that they have required a whole bunch of new things and that are statewide in nature that are new. And the state needs to step up and fill those gaps.
Our guest has been Peggy Huppard, ladies and gentlemen. She's the director for NAMI of Iowa. This is such a huge issue. I wish we had a lot more time to talk about it. We'll have you back because I don't think this is going away anytime soon. As you said, this is a long process to get through. But I want to thank you for peeling back the onion a little bit and having this conversation. Thanks, Mike.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
I don't know about you, but I certainly learned some things from that conversation with Peggy Huppard from NAMI of Iowa. We will, by the way, have links to NAMI up on our radio blog so you can get more information. All right, that about wraps it up for another broadcast day. Thanks so very much for being with us. For all of us associated with the Business News Hour, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing falls to Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Peggy Huppert, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful most of all. Be good to your fellow man. Good day.